It's September 13th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I am the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading the worship service today. We have Lynn Meyer providing us with music on the organ. Jen Spur will sing our hymn this morning. Todd and Kim Wise are here to play a duet for us this morning. And our Director of Youth and Family Ministries, the Reverend Heather Hicks, will be assisting in the service this morning. She will also be doing the Especially for Children, which will take place a couple of minutes after we finish the worship service this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, we invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so that we know you were here. If you would like to learn more about our church, you may contact the church via Facebook or by calling our church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. And if you are watching this service live, you are invited to join your fellow worshipers at the Zoom coffee hour that will begin immediately following the service this morning. A link has been posted on our Facebook page. Today we have several announcements to share. First, the flowers that you see here this morning are given by Marge Fredrickson in honor of her husband Eric's birthday. This is Rally Day in the church, and we are celebrating Rally Day with a Rally Day picnic at 5 p.m. this afternoon out on our church lawn. You're invited to come, bring a meal, your own beverages, your own blanket or chairs, everything, and sit out on the church lawn. The church will supply the lawn and access to the restrooms. If you would like to join us, would rather stay in your car, you're welcome to come and picnic from your car. And we do hope to see you there. As many of you have heard already, one of our beloved members, David Cameron, died this past week. The family will be holding a private memorial service this week. But they plan on hosting a big celebration of David's life when the conditions permit. The latest issue of These Days, our devotional book, have arrived, and if you would like a copy, you can either pick one up here at the church, or you can call the church office and have one delivered to you. Our shelter-in-place Bible study will not meet this week. We will resume our study of the Old Testament book of Jeremiah with classes on Tuesday, September 22nd, and Wednesday, September 23rd. If you'd like to join in this study, just give me a call and we'll get you linked up. Our Sunday adult library class, which meets on Mondays during the pandemic, will continue to meet this week, and they'll be meeting at 4 p.m. this coming Monday via Zoom, and you can contact Tom Gennard or the church office to get a link. We are glad that you are here, and we are blessed to be able to worship God together. Let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Let us be called to worship this morning. Let us rejoice, for morning has dawned. A new day has been born, and we are here to celebrate it. We celebrate the beauty of God's creation and the wonder of the human family. We remember those whose love and sacrifice has shaped our lives. We hope and work for a future where justice flourishes and love rules. We come here to praise God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the past, the present, and the future for all of us. Let us worship God this day. Will you pray with me? O Lord, we approach you this morning from many different places. Some of us are excited about the day and its possibilities. Some of us are anxious because we have heard bad news. Some of us are hopeful that this hour will bring peace to our troubled lives. Some of us are broken by the challenges of life. Some of us are seeking a path to travel. All of us are here to bow down before the presence of the living God. Receive us and welcome us into your arms. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Psalms, the 78th chapter. Listen for God's word. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We will tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is a special day in the life of our church, because today we will be giving out Bibles, as our scripture reading for this morning talks about sharing our faith with our children, sharing the words of God with our children. We also will be sharing that today as we give out Bibles to our three-year-olds and also to our fourth graders. Today, we only have one three-year-old, and that is Andrew, and he will be receiving a beginner's Bible with lots of lovely pictures in it. We have three Bibles for our fourth graders going out to Stuart and Liam and Annika this day, and they will be receiving a children's study Bible, and this is different from our children's Bible in that we have the whole Bible here as opposed to just stories. But in this Bible, there are also little spots for study where they can think about things that are related to the scripture that they're looking at. So those are for our third graders and fourth graders today. If you come to our picnic, you will be able to pick up your Bible from Pastor Mark. If you are unable to come today, don't worry. We will get your Bibles out to you when we come to visit you next month. So we look forward to that. Thank you.
handing out the Bibles is a wonderful rally day tradition in this church, and it's just sad that we can't do it here this morning, but we are glad to recognize those kids, and we will get those Bibles to you, and you can enjoy them. Our second lesson this morning comes from the New Testament book, the second letter of Timothy, beginning at the first verse. Hear now these words. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Here ends our reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be found blessed in your sight this day. Amen. So welcome again to Rally Day 2020 pandemic style. Since we are not rallying in quite the same way that we usually rally, I thought I might look to the Bible for some inspiration and encouragement this rally day. And I thought that perhaps the place for inspiration is to look at the heroes of faith. But not just the heroes of faith. I thought I touch on those a lot in my sermons, but I don't touch enough on the heroines of faith. And so I thought I'd take a look today and throughout September at some of the women who have inspired us and continue to inspire us in our faith. Now, I might have started with some of the well-known women of the Bible, someone like Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Mary Magdalene, the first person to see the risen Lord, or perhaps someone like Deborah, one of the judges from the Old Testament, or Esther, the woman who saved her people from catastrophe. However, I learned that today is also Grandparents' Day, so I thought I would focus on Lois, who is the only grandmother mentioned as such in the Bible. Now, that's not to say that there weren't other grandmothers in the Bible. Most of the women mentioned in the Bible became grandmothers at some point in their lives, and in some places they are even acknowledged in that role. But it is only with Lois that the term grandmother is actually used. And so here's to Lois, the only grandmother mentioned as one in the Bible. We don't know much about Lois, but what we do know is worth knowing. Lois lived in the city of Lystra, which is in what is now south central Turkey. Lois was a woman of Jewish heritage, but she was likely converted to Christianity by Paul when Paul and Barnabas arrived in Lystra on his first missionary journey and preached there and established the church there, as indicated in the 14th chapter of Acts. At the time, Lois lived with her daughter Eunice and her family, which included a boy named Timothy. Paul later returned to Lystra and took Timothy, who was now a young man, under his wing, almost as an apprentice. Timothy joined Paul in his travels, and later Paul sent Timothy off to pastor the Christians in Ephesus. The two letters of Timothy were written to Timothy while he was pastoring that church. It is in the second letter of Timothy that the name Lois is mentioned. Paul writes to Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived in first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." And that's it. Lois only gets that one line in the Bible, but it is an epithet that any Christian would be proud for. From this one line, we know that Lois was a major influence on the life of Timothy, her grandson. And her life of faith would influence the life of faith of Timothy and would impact the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Timothy would go on to be one of the most important of the early church leaders. Timothy accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey, and Paul was so impressed with Timothy's faith and leadership that he sent Timothy to work with the Christians in Thessalonica. Later, Paul sent Timothy to Corinth, where he helped deal with the conflicts that were going on between different sections in that church. Another sign that Paul was impressed with this young man. Finally, Timothy was sent to Ephesus, where he became the first bishop of that city, according to tradition. The faith that helped him to be such a leader in the early church was born out of the love and witness of his grandmother and his mother. And Grandmother Lois created a legacy of faith that would make a difference far beyond her own circle of immediate influence. But then, that is how it has been for many. Many who are here today can tell of their faith as being influenced by someone in their past, particularly by a grandparent, often a grandmother. Sometimes that influence is direct. A member of my previous church told me once how his parents were not Christian and made no effort to take him to church or to introduce him to the faith in every way. And he said it was his grandparents who began taking him to church as a child. And it was his grandmother in particular who would tell him the stories of the Bible. This man, who is now an elder in his Presbyterian church, will freely tell you that the faith he has today is because of what his grandparents gave him when he was a child. And some of you have similar stories. And then for many of us, the influence of grandmothers is more subtle, more indirect. Our scripture tells us that Timothy got his faith from both his grandmother and his mother. And that is true for many of us as well. The faith we have received from our parents can be traced back to the faith of our grandparents. The disciples of faith that practice the disciplines of faith that we have inherited. The disciplines of faith like prayer, worship, and generosity are the ones we learned from our parents, who learned it from their parents, and so on. For most of us, faith is a torch that has been passed on to us by our families from grandparent to parent to child. And those influences often overlap. Parents may take the primary role in growing the faith of their children, but grandparents often have a vital supporting role. They are the models of faith that grandchildren observe and often emulate. The way grandparents live their lives becomes embedded in grandchildren, often in ways that surpass what the parents may teach. When First Lady Barbara Bush died, her granddaughter Jenna Bush wrote a letter to her grandmother that she shared on the Today Show. In that letter she wrote, "I will never forget when Barbara, who's Jenna's twin sister, and I, as 7-year-olds, snuck into the bowling alley at the White House and ordered presidential peanut butter sandwiches. We couldn't wait for someone to deliver what we were sure would be the fanciest sandwich of our lives." And then you opened the door, scolding us and telling us under no circumstances could we order food in the White House again. This was not a hotel. You taught us humility and grace. You and Gampy embodied unconditional love. At our wedding, Henry and I asked you to read because we hoped we could emulate your love story. Your love letters will be passed down to my girls so that they know what true devotion looks like. Grandma Bush had more influence on her granddaughters than I expect she realized. Not only from her direct teaching, but also from the way she lived her life. Humility, grace, unconditional love, these are the traits that are part of any Christian's life. Traits that are taught by action. Actions that grandchildren see and copy. But then that isn't limited to just grandparents, is it? We all have an influence on the next generation of Christians, whether those next generations are related to us by blood or by circumstance. Sometimes that influence is direct. We are the teachers of faith to our own children and to grandchildren and to other children. Sometimes we are called to be teachers of other children and other grandchildren through teaching Sunday school or vacation Bible school or helping lead Christmas pageants or all the other ways that churches pass down the faith to children. It is a way for all of us to live up to the vows we take at every baptism to help that child grow in faith. But our influence, in fact, our greatest influence on the young people of our church may not come in those formal settings. Our greatest influence may come in the more casual settings, the more subtle settings. Every interaction we have with children is a modeling of our faith, whether it is here in this building or in our neighborhood. It happens on Sunday morning when an adult asks a young person how their game went last night. Or it happens when a neighbor congratulates the neighborhood child on making the honor roll that she read about in the paper. Or maybe it happens at a church event by just helping a young child get back to their parents, or watching a child in a high chair while the parents go and get their food. These small moments register large in the life of young people, and often are remembered more than any Sunday school lesson or any sermon. In a sense, we are all Loises in this congregation. We are all responsible for and influencers of the faith of the children of this community. But the question becomes, how do we do that when we aren't gathered as a community and we don't interact with each other? And so maybe the question we need to ask this morning is, what would Lois do? I'd like to think that Lois would see the children of the church as her ministry, even when she couldn't directly interact with them. I like to think that Lois would find ways to encourage and uplift the young people of this church and of her community. I like to think that Lois would pray regularly for the children of the church and for their parents as they navigate the pandemic life. I like to think that Lois might write cards to the children of the church, encouraging them as school begins and reminding them that even in these difficult times, God is with them. I like to think that Lois might even call a parent or two that she might know well and ask how she could help that parent in these stress-filled times. I like to think that Lois might do just that, or even something even more creative. And I like to think that we are a church full of Loises. I like to think that maybe, just maybe, Lois's Christian influence extends well beyond her generation, or even her grandson's generation. I like to think that Lois is still influencing Christians today. Amen. Jen. We come together in this time of prayer and we lift up those in particular need of prayer, and of course we want to lift up the Cameron family as they grieve David Cameron's death this past week. We want to hold Adele Wright in our prayers as she asks for prayers for her father who is in hospice care. Heather Hicks' cousin, Elise Duncan, is in labor as we speak, so we pray that that goes well and a joyous new beginning for that family. Include Gary Harvey in our prayers, who continues with his cancer treatment. Elaine Russell's father is under hospice care. We pray for Bob Smith and Eric Fredrickson, Beth Drislane, and Linda Bixby. Now let us take a moment and offer silent prayers for those who are weighing on your heart this day. O Lord, hear our prayers. God of the ages, we praise and thank you. From generation to generation, you have been our refuge and our strength. You give your gifts of grace for every time, place, and season as we strive to walk in your ways and remain close to one another and to you. We pray that our homes may be schools of faith where we come to know and love you. Teach us the sanctity of human love. Show us the value of family life and help us to respect all. May the young find in the family strong support for their humanity so that they may grow in truth and love. May the elderly experience respect, support, and love and care within larger family circle. And on this day, we especially give thanks for grandparents and we pray for them. We give thanks for the way they have connect us with our heritage, our roots. We give thanks for their Christian memory, which inspires and enlightens us. We give thanks for their example of faith, for the witness of their lives, for the constancy of their love, and for the support of their prayers. Mighty and merciful God, we beseech you on behalf of our brothers and sisters whom we have named here this morning. Reach out to the ill and injured with your healing touch and encircle the grieving and the fearful with your comforting arms. Break down the barriers between enemies that understanding and cooperation might ensue. Rebuild the relationships that have been broken and are in need of reconciliation. Guide all of us through the fogs of these times so that we might arrive together at your promised future. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A song for the teachers, the professionals, and for the grandparents and parents who are struggling to try to help fill that role this year.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself. Because the past is just a goodbye. And teach your children well, the gospel tell, so they may have life. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picks, the one you're known by. If they ever ask you why, you'll know someday by and by. So just look at them and sigh. And know God loves you. And you of tender years can't know the fears that your elders grew by. And so please help them with your youth and seek the truth, the way and the life, and teach your parents well the gospel, tell so they may have life and feed them on your dreams, the one they miss, the one you're known by. And if they ever ask you why, we'll know someday by and by, so just look at them and sigh. And know God loves you. And know God loves you.
Friends, may the peace of God be with you this day, this week, and always. Amen.